Welcome back to another episode of the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast for whatever era of life you are in. I will have you know, okay, for those with us on video and not just audio, y'all, the amount of requests to be back in the closet for an episode had me cackling, because in reality, would I love to have a studio set up that looked super cute with my sign? I would. I really would. Does the lighting in the closet bathroom leave something to be desired? That goes without saying. However, these hangers in the background, this stand, my literal, oh my gosh, my microphone, hold on. Can that even reach? Hold on, you guys. Oh, look at that. We went around it. This is my little thing that I use when I'm actually utilizing. I will not carry this thing around. I have to draw the line somewhere. I'm going to be honest with you. But when I'm doing something or trying to show you like different stuff, this is really great. But yeah, just sitting in the back of my closet with all of my stuff, random pants on the floor, earrings, a dead light, which I could have used for all of like 5 seconds, which probably would have given us a little more light, but she's going to die. Do you see that? She has literally one bar left. That was me last week. One bar left to give. So welcome back to another episode. I went live today on TikTok and it was so much fun. I used to go live all the time. Tuesday nights, 2020, 2021. That was my jam. You could have caught me any Tuesday night at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. every single week. Without fail. And then people got spicy and I was like, I'm not here for this energy. If you're going to come into this house, I'm the owner of the house. You know what I mean? You know that sound? You know what I'm talking about. But I don't care if people talk about me. Like, we were on live today. You're going to love this. I cackled. If you weren't there, you're going to die. So we were on live and we were chatting, and I just always love chatting because I love being with you. Everyone is so far apart, so it's really like, it feels like going live is a great place to like come together and get to talk with everyone. This video quality is killing me, but it's fine. Anyways, so we're on there, and this human who I don't feel like they were being unkind. I really, really don't feel like they were intentionally being unkind. I think they were just giving their opinion, as people do in the wild, wild west of the internet. And they said, I'm a big fan of yours, but you should fire whoever did your under the eye filler. The way I laughed, the way, and I was not trying to be rude. Here's the tea. I have no under eye filler. I'm very honest about what I have. I have lip filler. I get Botox in my forehead. I have reinflated boobies. Okay. I have a spray tan. Microbladed eyebrows. Okay. I did do microblading this last year. And my lips have been tinted for like 2.5 years. Okay. It sounds like a lot when you say it, but the filler I don't have except in my lips. So I literally started cackling because I was like, well, I'm going to fire Jesus. Jesus, like, I have some complaints, obviously. This under eye stuff that you did is like not, no, I'm kidding me. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. But I was absolutely cackling at it. It just tickled my funny bone. It really did. And I was like, in terms of compliments, we could have a whole session on how to do those. I'm not a big fan of the compliment sandwich because I feel like it's just hiding what you really want to say. Like, and then sometimes I question, like, why do we really need to say that? I don't know. But I'm feeling saucy about it, like, in terms of just, like, spicy. It was funny. And my personality of sarcasm, which some people don't gel with, vibe with, whatever. It's never meant to be rude, but I literally could not. There were so many jokes running through my head. I was like, well, we're going to call up Jesus because this was a real oversight. You're fired. And then the kind human was like, I'm going to double down. I'm still a fan. And I was like, I'm not telling you you're not a fan. I'm just saying, like, in terms of compliments, we could totally work on our delivery here. We could work on our delivery. You could just be like, do you have under eye filler? I'll answer that question. Do you need to follow it up with, you don't? Your under eyes are weird. No. But, like, that's just me, boo-boo kitty, as I tell the girls. But it just had me cackling on the live. But I loved it because I got to spend so much time with you. And we got to hang out and we got to chat, and I knew that this episode was coming. Am I a little behind this week? I am. But I said, I'm not going to, oh, my allergies. I don't get like allergies. My nose just gets like lightly runny. This is like way too much information for you. So if you hear me like doing this or you see me doing that, like it's not actually running. It's just like whatever. Whatever. We're all friends here. Okay. So it is what it is. But I knew that this episode was coming and I was excited to share it with you. So I was like, didn't do it on Monday. Oops. But you know what? We all know how my week was last week. So the fact that we are here and we're chatting, that is the win. That is the huge win here. And the fact that this is going to be uploaded today. So I'm just going to be proud of myself for showing up. Even if it feels like skirting into the parking lot with the tires on fire, we still did it. So what we're going to talk about today. Oh, wait, did you see Mr. Coffee? Did you see what they sent? I died. I'm telling you right now, when they commented, I really, really, really did not anticipate them sending a full on latte machine. Like not even like a full on put some grounds in there, like latte machine. I really thought they would be like, okay, we're going to send you this really great brew, which I'll take an extra coffee machine. Like when I have guests who want brewed coffee, I will absolutely do that. But the fact that they sent the nicest possible thing I could have asked for. I mean, because here's my thing. I don't expect anything, but I always tell my girls, like, you don't know unless you ask. Like, let someone tell you no. Let someone say, I can't, it's too much. Like, let someone do that, but don't just not ask at all. Do you know what I mean? Because then you're left wondering. And someone might think, oh, it's presumptuous to ask like this. Oh, it's this to ask like that. No. As long as your reaction to the answer, if it's undesired, is not ungrateful. Like, that's my thing. Ask for what you want. But when you don't, if you don't get it, don't be all hyphy about it. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But I died. I literally, that box came and I was like, I cannot functionally open this. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed with the generosity. And someone might be like, oh, yeah, it's whatever to Mr. Coffee. Are you kidding me? No. That machine is like $300. I still can't. But we all know it's my mom's birthday week. If you didn't know, now you do, because I just said it. The week so far has been fine, is how I would describe it. I really, really wanted to see the ocean this weekend, but there are some tiny humans with birthday parties, and my tiny humans love nothing more than a birthday party. They are celebration queens through and through. Like, let's celebrate you. So I'm obviously not going to be like, no, I want to see, like, there's another day that I can go. I do get to do red light therapy on Friday, though. I'm going to go have a full body red light, and I just feel like that really feels like something. When you're dealing with grief, doing something so external, internal like that, where it's like healing and you know that it's like it's absorbing, like that just, I don't know why, but I'm really glad that I have that on Friday, because I really feel as though it's going to be just special. So sorry, you have to listen to me swallowing. Here's the thing. Today we're going to talk about, this is the topic. We're going to talk about my girl scroll video. And I was kind of like bummed out because someone made a video and mentioned me. And I'll tell you what, the best way to scare me, get my anxiety right up in the morning, say someone has mentioned me in a video. I cannot not click away quick enough. Like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know why. But then sometimes you're like, okay, well, I have to know. I've got to know. And of course, it was someone who was like, I guess I don't watch Love Island. But I guess, well, Love is Blind. No, I think it's Love is Blind. Love is Blind, Love is Island. I don't know. There's a lot of love shows, okay? And they basically, their entire video was the first half of my video where I said, like, I'm a girl's girl. I'm raising girls. And it was basically like, I don't know if it's the show I saw, but I find this super cringe saying girls now. Why can't we say women empowering women? Well, when we start acting like better people, maybe we can bring back women supporting women. Because right now that really doesn't stand. So I'm trying to raise girls who are girls supporting, so then we can be like, look, women supporting women. Anyways, I'm being salty about it. But I was just like, what was the point of that video? Like, why? Like, just make a video that doesn't have me in it. Like, maybe just say that on your own instead of using my video. I don't know. I was salty about it. I was like, wait, because here's the thing. If you're going to make a point about it, I'm going to listen. I'm here for the growth, the other side of the story, the other shoe. I want to hear about it. But when you literally use the video to say nothing else except this is cringe, I'm like, I can learn nothing from this. So whatever, it was weird. But that's what we're going to talk about. We are going to talk about this because of the follow-up comment that I find is so important. because I really feel like we use this to take away responsibility for how we are supposed to be. And I think this is really important. And I said in the video, how I'm raising girls, this can apply to all tiny humans. This can apply to human beings. But here's the thing. I want to give a little background. In the video, I said I was not always a girl's girl. Here's why. And what I mean by girls, girls, so we can specify for those who might find it cringy or not helpful or watched whatever show made it seem less fantastic to say, is that I was not that way because I was a really sweet girl growing up. I was. That's a given. I was a really nice little girl. And here's the thing that happened. I was raised to only be nice. See, it's very polarizing. Like, it turned the other cheek was the absolute banner of our household. And I'm not saying that I don't agree with turn the other cheek. And like, but I'm like, shake the dust from your feet, boo. That's in there too. Shake the dust from your feet. If you have to turn the other cheek and you're still getting slapped, bye. Bye. So I want to dig into this because I grew up being very happy, joyful, sweet, and people wore me down. And I'm not going to say it was just women because there were some guys that played into that as well. But my ability to be that way got worn down. And here's the thing. Instead of me looking at that and saying, what boundaries should I draw? How should I change my interactions? What should I do? Not saying like I only take responsibility for other people's actions. How can I safeguard myself? How can I do these things? I allowed other people's actions to determine part of who I became at a certain point and who I was to others. And that was what made me not a girl's girl. I wasn't out here being rude to people, but I was not helping. See, I was, I'm going to expose myself here. Here's an example of how I was not a girl's girl in college. Don't put people on a pedestal, you guys, because we're human beings, but I'm going to literally expose myself here. I'm gearing up for this because I said this on the live today. Sometimes 20-year-old Amanda, she gives me the ick, but we love her. We love her because she did the best she could at the time. She was hurt. She was wounded. We don't just say she had no responsibility, okay? But we forgive her for who she was and we take responsibility for her because I have grown and I would literally never do this. It's terrible. So when I liked a guy, okay, because here's the thing. Up until this point, again, not making excuses, giving you background, I had friends who, talked about me, said nasty things about me, lied about me, trashed my clothes, literally took a dump on my clothes, broke my makeup. And then I've told this story before where the girl stole my shirt and then wore it to school and said it was hers. And I'm like, that is not your shirt. You did not buy that shirt. It's mine. And it's not like she could have got another of them. That's how I knew. The shirt didn't exist. She's like, oh, I bought it the other day. Where? Where'd you buy it? Because it was bought 2 years ago and they don't make it anymore and you didn't own it. Like, again, a little salty with this episode. Here's the thing, but I'm just being completely transparent with you. So this is a hypothetical. I don't remember doing this in Blake and I's relationship because Blake just didn't stand for this type of like gossipy drama. Like Blake was not about that. So it was, I want to say it was with my second boyfriend. Because in my first relationship, I was cheated on. So I just can't even. So I was very insecure of other girls. I had no trust. I had no trust in the person I was dating. What had led me to have trust in that person? And even this person that I was dating had behaviors that really didn't build trust. Okay. Like, let's be real about that. But I was so desperate to be seen. Feel seen, excuse me. He wasn't seeing me. I was so desperate to feel seen in that way. And the way that I felt seen was actually not healthy ways of like they were, it was like my brain would take these signals that was like red flag, red flag. And I was like, beige, 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 like absolutely not. Or just straight up green flags. I would notice another girl and I would lean into my boyfriend. And I would be like, oh my gosh, wow. Do you know what's so sad? I XYZ, and I would say something negative. Why? Because I felt like in my brain that if I could make someone look less appealing, right? Or less than, or make them look in a poor light, it would elevate me. It's literally the definition of tearing someone down to build yourself up. It's a gross behavior. born out of insecurity, lack of trust, and a desperate need to feel loved. And this again was at a time when like Jesus and I weren't tight, like him and I, we weren't talking. I was like, bye boy to Jesus. And someone's going to DM me and be like, you can't talk about Jesus that way. Jesus and I have our own relationship. He understands me. I don't need to make reasons or justifications of how Jesus and I are. Like, don't worry about it. As I tell the girls, mind, worry about yourself, right? Mind your business. But Jesus and I were not tight at that point, and I wanted nothing to do with him because the previous experience that had led to that was inflicted by people who said they were besties with Jesus. And this is a lot. You will learn this if you experience this, and if you're wanting to learn, you learn that Jesus's name gets put on a lot of stuff that is not his vibe. That's not how he rolls. That's not how he talks. And I'm not saying Jesus isn't a Jesus of accountability and blah, 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 blah. No, what I'm saying is that when you're out here acting a fool like I was, out here tearing down other people without them even being aware of it to make yourself look elevated, that's not, that WWJD would not do that. Jesus would not be about that. So don't stamp his name on that. And that's, and I said that in my video. Don't use Jesus as your excuse, because that is not him. He is not that. And so what I learned through healing my own hurt was that hurting other people didn't do anything for me. It didn't make me look better. It didn't make the people who didn't want to be there stay. It didn't make the person who was setting my house on fire not light the matches. It didn't make me feel better about myself. It didn't make me more confident. It didn't make me have more friends. It didn't do anything except continue to facilitate a behavior that made me feel like I needed to earn someone's approval, love, interest, time, and the cyclical behavior of that. And someone might be out here being like, oh my gosh, Amina, that's horrible. Yeah, I know. It was awful. Why was I doing that? I know why I was doing that. It's a terrible reason. But at least I'm going to be upfront about it. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you that I did that at one point. And I'm going to tell you that I don't do that now. I'm going to tell you that I don't have to tear down other women to make myself feel elevated, because I realize that their success and their failure actually doesn't reflect positively or negatively on me, but the way that I treat them does. Their success, their failure does not reflect on me, but the way that I treat them, that does reflect on me. And doing that behind closed doors, and here's what I'm not saying, okay? So don't hear what I'm not saying. This is a really popular thing with me. You can have those best friends that you go to and you're like, look, can I step out of what I know is who I should be in this moment? And can I just vent for a second? And then can you check me so I can get back in this? And this is a safe space and this is the cone of silence. And we know that I'm the one with the problem. Can I just take a minute? Can I have a minute? Because we're human beings. We're literally freaking imperfect. So don't act like I'm out here and I'm just like, I would never da 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 da. No, like go to your safe person and say, I am so irritated right now. Can I have a minute? And then have that safe person be like, yeah, check that here, leave that here. You're totally incorrect. Or, hey, look, I know why you might feel that way. That behavior sucks, but don't take down your standard of who you are for that, right? Take that, wrap it up, let's trash it out, and let's move forward. Because it's unrealistic to think you're going to go through your whole life with this behavior and this mentality of just like, I would never, because I'm on such an elevated plane of being and existence. Come on. Like, let's not pretend. Let's be honest with one another. And let's say that those feelings come, but what we do with those is what matters. See, you can have your feelings, right? But I tell the girls, the way you treat people doesn't get to reflect how you're feeling. Now, here was my point with that video. Someone said, and they commented, and I wasn't mad at this comment because it brought up a great point. I was like, thank you for opening up this conversation of Pandora's box, can of worms, whatever you want to call it. She said, you're not preparing your girls for the world. Because there are, and she used an expletive word of women, right? There's basically mean women out there, right? Was what she said in so many words. Teaching young people, friends, human beings of all ages, to be kind and to realize that by tearing down someone in the presence of other people, it's not going to elevate you, is not preparing for the world, right? See, I was raised in that time where it was like, girls are nice and they're sweet and they don't call out people for this. And they just walk on their way and they just ignore the behavior. No. Part of being a girls' girls is being there for one another in a really kind way, teaching one another to have boundaries, teaching yourself that you can be super kind, but I can let you know, hey, that behavior is not actually okay here. Hey, I understand that you're going through a tough time and I want to be here to support you. I do. You're going through something rough in life. I want to support you. I can't support you when you're treating me like that. I can't support your behavior. I can support you working through it and us getting to that place. But the way that you're treating people, me, talking about one another, we can't do that. We can't do that because that's actually not helping you. That's actually tearing down other people for what? See, the one thing that I think that we really miss currently, and I really honestly with little girls, because I don't have boys, I just know how women are sometimes. And I'm not generalizing, I'm just saying in my experience, how my experience with women have been. Friends, family, people, the world, right? Our insecurities determine a lot of our view of other people. Our trauma lenses how we view other people, right? And there's this expectation with this comment that this commenter, I don't know if she was a community person like in our community or not, but basically was saying you need to arm your girls for going into the world. And here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to create tiny people who go into the world expecting it to be combative. I'm not telling them that the world isn't combative. I'm not telling them that this might not happen with women. I'm not telling them that their friends aren't going to disappoint them, their family's not going to disappoint them, that people aren't people. But what I'm not going to do is teach them to go in every time up ready for a fight. I'm not going to teach them to go in with this armor on every time. I'm going to teach them how to protect themselves and how to do that when something arises, but I'm not going to act like I'm sending them into battle every day. It's a really terrible mindset to teach little girls, hey, look, other girls have it out for you, so you better be up for them before they're up for you. It's this us versus them mentality, and it doesn't cultivate an environment where you're able to hear one another, where you're able to say, hey, look, I heard you said something about me. I didn't appreciate it hearing from someone else. If you have something you need to say, you can come to me, but also what you're experiencing and who I am might be two different things. And I'm sorry if there's an intent to impact difference, but that doesn't mean that it's okay for you to go around telling people all of these things. That's called having a conversation. That's called laying a boundary. And you can still do that in a way that allows you to be who you are at your core. Because I think what we do so often with hurt and trauma, and I'm not saying that life hasn't been unfair. I'm not saying that it is not valid that you feel that way, that you do feel like you're entering life every day going into war, because my nervous system treats literally life as a threat, like literally allergic to life, like my anxiety and all that. But what you learn to do is allow people to show you who they are. And then what they say really doesn't matter. And I'm not saying that people can't change. Okay. So I'm not saying like, hey, you had this experience and it was really tough. That person was going through something tough. It was a different time. They've elevated how they treat people. They've changed who they are. You've grown as a person. You could reinvestigate that relationship. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when somebody repeatedly has a behavior and it's excused by everyone around them and you choose to lay the boundary, that when they come back to you and they're treating you one way, it is okay to know that you're not going to win in that situation. There are people that you're going to learn that when you have conversations with them, it doesn't matter what you say, how you say it, or in what way you say it. It is not going to go how you want it to. Their experience, their interpretation of that is not going to be the same, no matter how much you modify yourself. And what I have learned to do for that is say, you know what? I can't win here, and that's okay. Then I'm just going to show up as myself, because I know if I pick pink or blue, it doesn't really matter. If I pick yellow or green, it doesn't really matter. They're going to have a problem with it. Okay, it leads me to this rabbit trail. Have you ever seen the movie Pollyanna? No? Yes? No. I'm kidding. In the movie Pollyanna, I think her name is Miss Winterbourne, Miss Winter, I can't remember right now, but she brings her this jam, and she's like, I really wanted grape jelly. And I think it was grape jelly. She's like, I really wanted grape jelly. And she comes back the next day with grape jelly. I really didn't want this. But I brought you what you said you wanted. And here's what we do. And I think, again, speaking with my experience with little girls, I don't have tiny kings. Okay. So again, this could apply to anyone. So if I say this and you're like, that apply, it can apply, right? What I'm not going to do is teach my tiny queens that when they go to someone and they give them the strawberry jam and they don't want that, and then they say they want grape and they show up with the grape and they go, I don't want the grape. Okay, well then get your jam. Get your own jam. Because I brought the joy of the jam. Okay, I brought you the strawberry jam with the goodness of my heart and the intent of to give, right? And then I honored your request by saying, you know what? I didn't actually ask you what your favorite was. Let me bring you the grape. And then when I brought you that grape, I was met with the same exact response. Now, in the movie Pollyanna, it actually plays out a lot sweeter, but here's my point with that. I brought you the strawberry with the thought. I listened to your request and brought you the grape. You didn't want either. My job is done here. I do not need to go find another jam and really hope you like it, because that was basically what I did with life, especially boys, right? Oh, you don't want that? Let me contort myself. Okay. Oh, you don't want that. If you're watching the video, you're like, Amanda, contorting yourself. Let me change who I am. Let me anticipate what I think you're going to like. And then let me say that answer. Do you know what's so funny about that? I did that for a lot in my early 20s, especially in work. If I was asked a question by a boss, I would think, what do I think that their answer is going to be? And I would say that. And then the original thought I had, I didn't share. And then it would come back and I'd be like, oh, actually my original thought would have been great for that. That would have actually made more of an impact. But I spent so much time because I wanted to be really aware of what they wanted and really aware of their thoughts and really good. And it's not to say that you can't be considerate of people, because I think we've gone in this place where we're like, oh, you know what? That doesn't work for me at all. Your vibe is off. I'm done. This is not bringing me joy or peace. I'm out. I'm not saying that good relationships don't take work. A good kind of work, a kind of work where you're both growing, where there's results, right? Where you're seeing little things, you're trying, you're moving, right? What I am saying though, is that the way I experienced growing up as a kind girl, right? One who encouraged, one who was, no matter what behavior they bring you back with, just keeping back with kindness every time. Just keep coming back. Just don't worry about it. Just turn that other cheek. You're black, you're blue, you're literally bleeding. You literally need someone to come, like, send the ambulance, wee woo, wee woo. You know what I mean? Like, but keep doing it. Keep doing it, because that's what a kind person would do. They wouldn't complain about. And that's what I'm not saying. And I think that we've gotten into this place where we're so fatigued from that view that we're like, well, no, women just have it out for women. And we demonize each other. And we go in thinking you're going to go, the anxiety, everyone suffers from this, the anxiety when you say something to someone and it is actually an overshare. And the initial absolute terror you feel when you're like, where is this information going to go? Because everyone has experienced information being shared unwillingly. The violation. Where am I going to fill this? Who are they going to tell? What thread is this going to get on? And someone might be like, oh, I never experienced that. I love that. I love that. If that is not an experience you've had, freaking rock solid, man. Like, yeah. But me, it's something that I have to tell myself before the thought, because I'm an oversharer by nature. The thought comes out of my mouth before I have fully processed who I want to share it with. So I have learned to pause. You know, everyone always says two ears, one mouth, right? I have learned that there is a gift to listening and being quiet and then determining in my mind, because there are those people that you know you're going to share information with and it's just getting shared. It's just getting shared. Like, so be comfortable with what you said. Or don't interact at all. Because raising girls, and teaching them to be encouraging of people, I tell the girls all the time this with them, with friends, their encouragement is not your discouragement. We have to quit looking at people when they get a compliment and taking it as like a criticism of us. A person receiving a compliment in front of you, and I think this is really cultivated. I love healthy competition. I love when athletes push each other. I love when students push each other. But I think when it gets very toxic is when we make that other person the standard for beating them, and that becomes the goal. Rather than saying, this person pushes me to be better and I'm improving, that's excellent. We make it about, oh, no, 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 you have to pulverize them. And I'm not saying everyone's going to be like, oh, not everyone gets a trophy and there's first place and second place. Yes. What I'm saying, though, is let the effort and let the goal and let the motivation and let the growth of moving yourself towards reaching that first place be the win, not beating the person. Like, yeah, okay, great. It's great to beat someone. You say you're in a class, right? And there's a person who runs faster than you. Excellent. One day you beat them and now you're the faster one. That's exciting. That's a win. But if the only goal was to ever beat them and not just to become a better runner, it's going to feel literally not great at all. It's not going to bring you what you think it's going to bring you. Because after you've beat them, what do? What's the goal? What's the goal? You're now the fastest. At one point, someone's going to outrun you. So this environment of me versus them, I need to go into the world prepared for people to just be awful human beings. And here's the thing too. Trauma really teaches us. I had this other shoe dropping mentality and I still have it. I truly get anxiety when things are going well because I'm just waiting for something to fall apart. I'm like, okay, it's too good right now. Things are really too good, you guys. Let's just wait. And Blake really helps me with that because the girls get a lot of excitement around life. My girls are just like, they're not waiting for something bad to happen. It's a freaking gift. It's a gift. They don't know what the other shoe dropping means. They have no concept. And I friggin' live for it. My God, I live for it. I'm like, yes, yes, queen. Take that joy. Life is so great. It only gets better. Like, keep living that way. But the trauma that I had in life really taught me to wait for that other shoe to drop. And it's very intentional to not do that with your tiny people, to not say, hey, this friendship is so great. Wait till they turn on you. It'll happen. Because it actually might not. Just because it happened to you doesn't mean it will happen to them. Just because I didn't have a great group of girlfriends in high school I had friends in college, but like a big group of girlfriends in college doesn't mean your tiny people won't experience having a wonderful community. I feel really lucky that my girls, they experience stuff with people in life of all ages, boys, girls, the whole gamut, right? They experience disappointment, frustration, happiness. They're learning. They're growing. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're people too, but they have really good experiences for the most part. And they're able to kind of like deduce when things don't go as well as they want them to, why that was, what happened, where can we see that? Let's have empathy. Let's put in some boundaries for next time. Let's evaluate that situation. Instead of letting it fully encompass who we are and tarnish our future, we evaluate that everyone's experience is different and what that person is going through is different. And can we offer empathy and where can we lay the boundaries? And now looking at the situation, this person is just a person. So in the future, even if we see similarities, that person could be different. So let's evaluate that relationship. Let's trust but verify. Let's have some boundaries going in next time. So then we can have the person show us continually who they are. Because people can talk about all day who they are. But I'm willing to admit that in my 20s, I was different than I am now. I'm willing to admit 20-year-old Amanda, she had a lot of things going on and she needed a lot to work on. And she was so insecure that she had to flex on other things. It did nothing for me. Literally did nothing for me. Actually made me feel worse. Actually put me in a really dark place. Actually led me to make decisions that were so terrible. But every decision I made led me to here and helped me grow to here. And so I don't dislike younger me. I don't sit in the past decisions and guilt and say, wow, I'm just going to pay penance the rest of my life, because that actually doesn't help me. Being sad and disappointed over the past decisions I made or the choices that were made doesn't change my future. It's over. It's done with. Those were done and gone. So what can I do from them now? What does it give me now? It can give me growth. Out of those dead things, right? Those behaviors, I can harvest from it what can plant a new tree and better growth without all the other things. I can take the rot, right, from that. I can cut that out and I can grow into something new and beautiful. And then as I continue to grow, I can trim and I can continue to be better versions of myself and provide better versions for the tiny people in my life. Being a girl's girl doesn't mean that you're nice about everything and you're constantly encouraging. It means that you don't need to take other people's joy, other people's things, trauma, issues, situations and use that as something to stand on. You can encourage other people while still having boundaries for yourself. You can say something while still being kind. You can cut people out of your life and still be a girl's girl. And I know that, okay, well, maybe girl's girl is cringe now. I'm still going to say it though, because I like it better than women empowering women. Because honestly, I think of women and I think of adults, and the experience there has been rough. So I like saying girls, girls, because it makes me think of the younger generation and the hope that I have. Not that there's not hope for us, but there's a lot harder learning curve as you get older. Because I know in my mid-20s, through having kids and going through therapy and really modifying my behavior and realizing that I could evaluate why someone was upsetting me and why they were triggering me so much. And sometimes that's because of hurt, and that's okay. And sometimes it was because of insecurity, and sometimes it was because I was jealous. Jealousy seems like such a dirty word, but I tell the girls, it's okay to call that out. It's okay to say, I'm jealous. I feel jealous. Okay, well, why do you feel jealous? Okay, we can still celebrate their win. You can still say you feel jealousy, and it cannot turn you into someone that you don't like. You can claim that behavior and say, hey, I'm feeling this feeling. You can claim that feeling and have it not change your behavior. You can say, I feel jealous. That is not going to change how I act. I'm going to evaluate why that feeling is there. What do I need to do to address it? How can I do something for myself? And I'm still going to be able to cheer that person on, because their compliment is not my criticism. Their encouragement is not my discouragement. I can cheer alongside people, see something they have, and instead of coveting it and thinking they don't deserve it, they didn't earn it, I can say, what can I do to put myself in a position where I'm doing things that light me up or empower me in that way? See, because half of mean comments are just sadness, hurt, jealousy, frustration. And I say this all the time, I love Gary Vee. So much can be solved with kindness, not just taking it constantly. Okay, I'm not saying just taking the bad behavior constantly, but I'm saying that calling things out, saying I'm afraid to do something and it makes me frustrated that they did it, saying I would love to feel so free to do that, but I don't. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, we shame people for feeling a certain way, so then they hide in that behavior, so then they don't want to admit that they're having that behavior, so then they put the responsibility on someone else. And we find a way to blame them. And then we miss the gift of personal growth. There are times as an adult I feel jealous. Do you know what it's always rooted in? Oh, I really wish I could do that. Okay, well, Amanda, what you got going on, girl? Like, and also, is that meant for you? Is it your time? I think part of learning to teach the girls to be girls' girls is realizing not all time is our time. Oh my gosh, in social media. If that is not the definition, because you could be doing this your whole life and someone could hop on one day and they've popped off in 5 seconds. And the knee jerk would be like, what? No, but here's what I have learned. And let me tell you this, I internalize this on such a, first off, and I say this all the time, going viral is not something I aspire to. Like, no, leave me here with the After Hours community. I love them. They know me. We know what's going on. We know the stories. We know the background right here. I'm happy right here. But it is so easy in socials, especially working as a content creator, to see someone and be like, what? They just popped off but not all time is your time. It is so funny to me. I can look back on every single solitary instance in my life, even painful, and say, actually, you know what? That wouldn't have been the right time. There were so many things at play there. I actually have not looked back and been like, oh, it would have been really good right then and there. That would have been the winning time. I don't feel like that at all. I really truly believe that God's timing is perfect timing. And I believe that he has it figured out. I think that that's why I'm able to walk through life with this very like, it's all going to work out, guys. Jesus has it under control. Thank God I'm not driving this car. Right? Like I said in the video, God is not hiring at the pearly gates. He needs no help. The position has been filled. You don't need to sit there and check the gate for people. It is not our job to evaluate other people. It's our job to evaluate how they treat us and examine that and see how that fits into how we view ourselves and how we expect to be treated and how we should be treated. And then we can move as such. We can move through life as such. But it is not our job to sit there and evaluate someone's outfit. You're not wearing it. It's not affecting you. It's not on your body. It is not my job to evaluate who I think should have gotten something over me or who I think I should have gotten something over. That, thank God, most of those decisions are determined by something else. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have moments when, like, for example, like I'll see a cool campaign and I'm like, oh man, oh, perfect example. When I see people get to go to Disney parks because Disney Park called them and I'm like, Disney, I'm literally here, boo. I'm right here. But instead of saying, that's not fair, they got that and I didn't, and they don't, I say, it's not my time and I'm just going to keep chugging along. And one day, right? Knock, knock, knock. Disney parks will call. Mark my words. Okay. If you're listening, Disney, no, I'm kidding. Oh, there we go. My mic popped out. But the point is it's not that we don't have these feelings. Being a girl's girl doesn't mean that you are 100% a cheerleader 100% of the time. That's a lie. No one's a cheerleader 100% of the time. Everyone has those thoughts. It is not letting your feelings determine your behavior. Being a girl's girl means that one person's compliment is not your criticism. Their encouragement is not your discouragement. You don't need to worry about what Sally wore to the dance. Evaluate why that upsets you. And then realize that it's probably something that you don't need to be worried about. You don't know what's going on in Sally's life. Sally doesn't know what's going on in your life. We don't need to spend so much of our time worrying about other people when we can be loving other people. I think it's just really interesting that our first response to teaching people to be kind is that they're going to be doormats. Because I will tell you right now, don't mistake kindness for weakness. It definitely is not. I like to think of myself as a super kind person. I want to meet everyone with kindness. And I say I'm super kind because that is my first response and my desire when I interact with people. That does not mean that I won't toe the line on a boundary like you've never seen. I have had my mom and my brother pass away, and I held boundaries with them every day. And I can tell you there is guilt associated with that. I look back and I'm like, oh, should I? Do not mistake kindness for weakness. Kindness is a superpower. Being rude is easy. Just allow your emotions to take over. Just don't take personal responsibility. And here's what I'm not saying. I'm not judging you right now. Don't think that you're out here and you're like, well, I'm hurt and it's unfair and it's hard. And I'm not saying any of that. There are days I'm hurt and there's days I'm hard and there's days that like I don't do well. But it doesn't mean that I quit trying. It doesn't mean that I don't quit encouraging my girls to do better too. It means that we're just better together. We're better when we see being each other's encouragers as the goal. We're better when we see each other as community, not competition. The competition exists whether we see it or not. Competition is there. It just exists. It's a part of life. The way you act about it influences who you are. Allow yourself to remain true to who you want to be at your most pure self. Have patience and grace for when you're not that way, because you're not going to be that way every day, every moment, every second. Maybe not even all day. Maybe some days, maybe part of the day. Don't allow yourself to live in the mistakes of yesterday because they have no impact on the future except to tear you down in your mentality and continue to have you in that cycle. And I want to leave you with this. My grandmother used to say to me growing up, you made your bed, now lie in it. Oh my gosh. I think I've said this to you before. The actual the hatred I have for that saying. Because you know what it taught me as a young girl, a young person? Well, I made this bad decision, so I just have to keep making it. I just have to keep making this decision because I made it once. I made it once and I made that choice and now I have to live in it. That bad choice determines everything that I do. That is an absolute lie. That's a lie. And you know what? Finally, I got the courage at 20 to say, actually, I'm going to come home. I'm going to dump the toxic relationship. I'm going to apply to the college that I was declined from. And I'm going to I applied to the college, was declined, wrote to the admissions board. I'm not going to give up on myself. I'm going to say, I made that decision. Sure, I made that bed. I don't have to lie in it. I can change the sheets. I can buy a new bed. Because the I made my bed, now I'll lie in it mentality only continues to create a cyclical behavior where we treat ourselves like we hate ourselves. Because the more we continue that behavior because of the guilt that we feel, the more self-hatred we build. You want to begin to love yourself? Realize that you can change your decisions. You can do it different. You don't have to keep going the same just because someone told you that. And let me tell you what, when you do make that change, people are going to look at you and they're going to say, you're not going to change. You're XYZ. You've done this, this, this. And you look them dead in the eye and you say, you don't know me. Because they don't know you anymore. You can change. You can begin anew. You do not have to live in yesterday. And I get emotional about that because 20-year-old Amanda, she lived in that saying for so long. And the self-hatred and the self-harm that that brought took up way too much time. To recap, do not need to let other people's compliments be your criticism. You can look at why something is hurting and why it makes you want to be hurtful to others. And you can love yourself knowing that you felt pain and wanted to be unkind. And you can recognize that. You can say, I'm jealous. I don't like them because they have something. And you can recognize the behavior, the feelings, but not let it change your behavior. You can recognize the behavior you've had previously and realize that your feelings don't need to determine future behavior. Once person encouragement does not need to be your discouragement. This is a place of change and growth. You can rip out old roots. It's hard. It's painful. But you can look at people that will constantly remind you of who you were. There are people who will never stop seeing you for a certain version of yourself. And I will tell you, I have them in my life. There are people that you will never change for. And that's their loss. They will never know you. You allow them to live with that version of yourself because that doesn't exist anymore. Therefore, that relationship doesn't exist. Sorry. People are allowed to grow and change. And you're better than you know. And you're worth it. And you do not need to make your bed and lie in it. Buy a new bed and change the sheets. Okay? So I'm going to lean in for this. I loved being in the closet with you. I know the lighting is terrible. I know my video quality and blah, 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 blah. One day when we're in our studio, okay? One day when we're in our studio, I'll make it look like a closet. with my eye. No, I don't have eye filler. Okay, look. Hey, let's get in close. If no one has told you lately, I love you. I like you just the way you are. There is only one of you. And you are needed because you are one of a kind. You have exponential and limitless potential. Yesterday you does not need to determine who you become. Your feelings do not need to be your behavior. And I say that to myself all the time. And I love you so much. And I'm so grateful you're here. And I can't wait to be with you next week. Happy hump day, and I'll see you next week.